Radio.
There's a wall that has been standing since the day that Adam fell. Sin is where it started, sin is why it fell. Speaking as a prisoner who was there and lived to tell, I remember how it felt. I could hear the sound of freedom like a distant voice of call. And beckoned me to follow where I had never gone. Though my heart was willing, I just stood there at the wall, praying somehow it would fall. But in a crowd I found the doorway and the hand that held the key. When the chain fell at my feet, for the first time I could see. Of the prison I was in, life a living nightmare, burning deep within. I can feel the voice of evil, I can hear the call of sin, but I won't go back again.
And truly, both of you guys are joining us here at Harvest Light Church and Harvest Light Studios. We're going to be getting started here in just a moment. For those of you guys who come into the studio, the call in number tonight is going to be actually 516-387-1220. It's always a pleasure for you guys to be with me. We're going to give it about 5 more minutes, so we got to get our international team to come in. We're going to let them solidify in with us, and we're going to get moving. We're going to be dealing over in the book of Ephesians 6 and 16. We're going to be variation through the scriptures. Let me kind of get my music down here. We're going to be kind of variating through the scriptures, kind of moving up and down. But we're just a pleasure for you guys to join us. And say once again, as the music got a little loud on me, I want to make sure you guys are going to be a part of the show on tonight. The number to call in is 516. That's 387. That's going to be 1220. You're listening to Pastor Charles Ellis, co-hosting tonight. My beautiful wife, co-pastor Patty Ellis. It's always a pleasure. We're going to let the music move here just a bit. And we're going to get you guys right back in here. We're going to get started. We're going to hear what the Word of God has to say that is coming from the kingdom.
But in a court I found the doorway, and the hand that held the key. When the chains fell at my feet, for the first time I of the prison I was in, life a living nightmare, burning deep within. I can feel the voice of evil.
Father God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you as we get ready to get into our actual show on this afternoon. Father God, we ask you to lead us, guide us, give us the wisdom, give us knowledge, give us understanding, and do just what you called us to do. Father God, I ask you to orchestrate the word, that even as it begins to go forth, Father God, let it not be of me, but let it be through you, Father God. As I make myself available, Father God, through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, as I continue to protect the hedge and protection around that which you've given me, that I will speak unto your people on tonight. Father God, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that as you continue to look over this word and guide it to your precious power, to your illumination, to your transformation, and all the divine information you need to give unto your people, Father God, let it be exposed as of right now in the name of Jesus. And Father God, even as a call comes in tonight, Father God, we're able to look over the woman of God, Edna Ellis, out of Saginaw, Michigan, my sister, who requested a prayer request over her, not an illness, but we're going to claim the illness. We're going to believe that God's going to touch her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Everything in our body's got to line up according to the Spirit. I decree according to the power, I decree according to the word, that even as we speak, we declare, we speak things and call things to be an event to be not with the word. We speak to the very mountain, whatever the proclivity may be in her life, Father God, whatever's alienated her, Father God, we ask you to loose it in the name of Jesus. And by the power and authority of the Holy Spirit, we send forth that word right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that we know and declare and decree, Father God, that everything is well and all is well. Once again, we thank you guys for joining us here on the actual Tuesday night testimony. We got a pretty powerful word, I like to say, that's coming forth tonight as the Holy Spirit gives reverence. I want to let you guys know also, this coming February 2017, you know, we got our Teen Talk show that's coming back into play. It's going to be actually positive feedback. Those of you who are with us about in 2015, we started the positive feedback show. And the young man that was doing the show for us fell under the illness, and we know that God is touching him. And we got confirmation through the Spirit that we're ready to start it up again. But we've been kind of pushing it like once a month. We hadn't been really putting it on platform for you guys to hear it, but it's been going on. It's called Positive Feedback. And in this particular station, we deal with teenagers of all walks of life, dealing with some of the things they're actually going through in life. Matter of fact, we're going to get into a little bit in the book of Ephesians 6 here as we get started. But we got to believe that our children are under attack. Sometimes we are under attack. I'm going to say sometimes, all the time, the way that things are going. We see some of the information that's going on around the world. We hear different, just a variety of different things that's happening in the world today. As the word of God declares over in the book of Mark 13, it talks about how these different things, rumors and wars of rumors and all the different chaos that's going on around us, and how we see so much negativity, not only in our radio stations, not on television, but we even hear it from our own counterparts, people that are around us has been attacked by certain things, that how they feel not being in the presence of the Holy Spirit during the time of a season, which is it's Christ that's on the throne. And really, when we think about this, ladies and gentlemen, we don't want to get into the conversation about this right now because we could, but we got to understand what the season is really all about. In spite of whatever's going on around us, we still got to understand that it's Christ. You know, even though we understand through the scriptures, for those who are scholars and somewhat call ourselves to be that, we know this is not the day that Christ was, actually the 25th wasn't the day that Christ was actually born, but at least we celebrate it. It's kind of like we could call it one of these particular hypocrite holidays, but, you know, whatever, you know, but we understand and realize that we're celebrating something that's way more powerful than we can imagine even understand. We know, according to the word of book of Isaiah, you know, a child is born and a son is given. The government is on his shoulders. We look at some of the things going on our economics and surrounding the world. We realize and understand that God just still sits on the throne. You know, we talk about the process, how the Democratic and the Republican, this division that people are so just widely spread about who's who and who's right. But God, yes, still sits on the throne. He still sits on the throne, and he's still in a position to rule and reign, and he still calls the shots in everything that we do. But we want to move forward here on this afternoon. As those who I say once again is coming to the show, the number to call in is 516-387-1220. We got most of our international players in the house tonight. We want to make sure they're going to stick with us as we get more callers and continue to come in. It's going to be kind of a phase out, teaching on this afternoon. We're not going to have many discussions going on today because we want to get this information out. We're kind of on a time limit. We're running across a lot of our time and a lot of the things that we had asked requests for those who've been a part of the show. It just hadn't been obedient to what we're doing, so we got to kind of move in some directions and get some things moving and just kind of preserve the work that God is doing and continue to move forward and knowing that there's no weapons formed against us. But we talk about it in the book of Ephesians, and we look at the book of Ephesians. It's such a mighty and prophetic word. We talk about the book of Ephesians. It really, when you talk about anything in the Bible, any scripture, it doesn't matter what it is. It's really a testimony to what the power of God has already done in our life. You know, we understand and realize to the point we look at the book of Genesis, we see that the Holy Spirit was already moving, and now we see coming down to the book of John, we see the Holy Spirit come into fruition. We see the power of God, and the Word works among us. In the beginning was the Word, was the Word was with, and we see that in the New Testament moving forward. It's a testimony to how God really looks over us in the midst of whatever it is going on around us. You know, ups and downs may come. That's just a part of just building yourself up as being a Christian. If you never went through anything, then how would you know how to go through it? Some discussions come to some young people that talk to me today, that talk to me all the time, and I have a nice time talking to them. And we got to understand how young people are going through so much. They're not as seasoned as we should be or as we are. But we got to know, we got to take our time with them and teach them and help them to move forward in all the chaos that's going on around us. Let's get into the word here. Let's see what the word of God speaks about here as we talk about some of the things that's going on in the families. And we want to understand that Ephesians 6 and 10, well, it's just Ephesians 6 starting at the beginning. It really gives a testimony of how the word of God really lines up with Proverbs 22 and 6. You know, I hear my mother say this all the time. You know, she believed in training up a child in the way she go, and he would not depart. So Ephesians really comes back and it brings some clarity to that particular scripture. When you look at Proverbs 22 and 6, he said, children, obey your parents, and that the Lord, for this is right. Now, just on that part right there, you kind of switch gears. And you look at some of the things that the verse is really talking about, not going in completely into the scripture. The word of God said, children, obey your parents. And he talks in a second, he said, and this is the Lord. And the third said, this is right. But when we think about it in the whole, he said, come. Yeah, it comes apart that it's really that the Lord is authority, you know, in all the fatherhood. He's really the father. So he teaches the father to teach the young men and women that are coming along. So I look at one of my breakdowns, I look at some of the Gavin studies. I'm always going to different things, looking at, you know, when I look at a word, I just don't use one commentary. I mean, my library is vast. I go to about maybe 20, or maybe 10 to 15 commentaries, looking at variations of what the word of God is saying. But I was looking at one of the things in my Gavin study, and they said that he comes in other parts of the family to show the duty of the children. Now, notice what he's saying. He shows the duty of the children. The parents are in control. They are the ones who actually in the household. But the testimony comes and the blessings comes when the children understand the duty and the role of the parents. And now they not to look at themselves as being more higher than the actual parent. You know, we use the scripture and say that the servant is not greater than the master. That's really something good to say about it. But when it talks about this particular area of scripture here, and it really deals with a testimony, how when the children be able to come under the very agreement with the parents, then the blessings may come. And this is why we as children, we as young men, we can look back, hear a lot of the members, a lot of people that come on the line, they talk about how they obeyed their parents. And when they obeyed their parents, things went well for them. Remember, they gave testimonies. Most of all of us who go through things in our life, we look back, man, I can remember my mom used to call me off the block, and she used to snatch me by my ear, man. She used to put that belt on me, and that was good for me. Why was it good for us? Because we remember how our mothers trained us, according to Proverbs 22 and 6. And it really brings a strong inclination and information and authority to the point to get us to realize and understand that God really has a promise and a plan for our lives. And it really deems to the process of us being obedient to those one who have governed over us, that we may have our life long lived, that the word of God declares he had given us a 70 years plus the bonus, meaning that we're guaranteed if we walk right the 70 years, and then we go over those 70 years, we guess what we get? We get the grace and the mercy that carries us over to wherever long God wants to have us here on earth until he brings us home. I'm going to elaborate on it just a little bit more as I talk about this particular verse in the book of Ephesians 6. For those who are just coming out, I see you still popping in line. Thank God for you for coming in here. But I want to look at this in the Ephesians 6 and 1. As we started off in the very first part of this particular teaching of the night, dealing with how testimony comes out of obedience. And the Bible said, children, obey your parents. Now look what it said, in the Lord, and this is right. And now when you look at the process of just looking at it, not going to the second verse, not trying to really get ahead, I want you guys to really stay and really understand what we're doing here and what we're trying to put into play here. We want you to understand that as a testimony, it comes out of the obedience. And when we get testimonies out of obedience, it's what we have done pertaining to what our parents wanted us to do when we were young, when we was adolescents. We didn't understand, we didn't realize, and we didn't know the course of the world. But as we got older and we began to pick up on things out there in the streets, according to what it says in the book of Ephesians, and then we began to walk the course of the world. Now let's back over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, when it talks about we all once dead in our trespass and sin, we all once walked the course of the world, and we understand that process. But now it brings the parents into place to get us to realize and understand it's really more than what we can see. It's divine to give us information on how we receive the revelation, the information of having all that God has in store for us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor the father and the mother, which is the first commandment, which is his promise. Now, the promises of God brings forth blessings and revelation and information through when we understand the things that God gives us. You know, we talk about the promises. Promises. What is the promises? The Bible says nothing he would hold from us. I believe that's Psalms 84:11. That no good thing he'll hold from us if we walk right according to the word of God. If you obey all my commandments, all my statutes, and all my commands, then you'll eat the good of the land. Now, that's what he told me in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. All these things was given a testimony as they began to come out the process, the second generation. They came out of actually Egypt, and they began, we know the story about in the book of Numbers, how they killed off the first generation because of their disobedience, and God raised up the second generation. And I like to look at really Deuteronomy as a revised covenant. So when we understand what we're talking about in terms of being obedient, we know what can happen when we're disobedient, whether we're young or old. Even though we become old, we're still subject to the power of the authority of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. It is amazing. When we talk about the Ten Commandments, you look at the first five commands of the Ten Commandments. The first five is in honor and how we're supposed to get along with God, how we honor God. And the second five commandment is in honor how we should get along with one another. Jeremiah talks about all these things, us being Christians. But one thing we can understand is being men and women of God in the house of God, we got to understand, we got to come to obedience, obedience, obey your parents, that this is right, he says. And we go back over to this breakdown. We talk about this one. Kind of smooth this through and just really go smooth with it is that it comes to another part of the family. Why does it come to another part of the family? Because now God focuses on the family in a whole. We're talking about a testimony. He focuses on the family in the whole, as he said in the book of Genesis, goes to become married and they become multiply and they become the, you know, we'll go out and subdue the land. But now he begins to bring us in this section of the family. How my family, your family, I ain't talking about a scattered family, which, you know, there are some things like that now, but a lot of those people got carried away because of some of the things they didn't obey their parents with, and this is why they got there. But let's understand what we're saying right here. It comes to another part of the family. It shows the duty the children towards the parents, or the duty of the parent of the children toward the parents with consistency and obedience. Okay, what does consistency do? For those who lead a lot of my Facebook channels, a lot of some of my blog channels, you saw me talking about excellence, how God really calls us to fall into excellence. He didn't say perfect, but he wants us to be excellent. What we do is to bring the blessings unto us. The way we receive blessings from the Lord is when the word of God declares and decrees what it says in Proverbs 22:6. You know, as our parents raise us, they command us, they guide us, they lead us, give us everything we need that we may walk right in this very tedious journey that we're on, which is called life, and we continue to move forward. And then the word of God really argues the point because God has appointed these things in place. This is all a part of the command. And upon it, follow as the children are obligated to obey the parents. That they may not swerve, as it says in one of the study guides here. It says that they might swerve from the worship of God. But what is the worship of God? I believe, as I said back, I'll go back before, it starts within the family. The testimony comes out of the family. When you and I were young children, we grew up and we come to what we are right now, we knew how our parents put that. Some of us got the extension cord. Some of us got the ironing cord. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of us got the broom handle. But it was right to help us, to keep us from swerving from the worship and what was taking place in the house. Well, what was the worship? That their mothers taught us how to pray, even before we said our grace, even before we laid down to sleep at night. They trained us. And as we got older, what do? We use the very testimonies that we learned to train our children. So we understand and realize that when kids ask them, well, well, Daddy, why do we pray? My daughter asked me, why do we pray? Because we believe that it's a sovereign God. The sovereign God is the one who looks over us when we can't look over ourselves. He keeps us from all hurt, harm, and danger. You know, the word God talks about, when you take your Bible, you look at Psalms 91. I really like Psalms 91 when it talks about the process of how, you know, God really keeps us in the area of what we call diversity. I remember my mother teaching me this particular scripture at an early age, and I was talking to one of the young gentlemen earlier one of my shows today, and not, and he was asking, "Well, Pastor Ellis," he said, "when did the Lord get a hold of you?" Most people, I dare not to tell a lot of people a lot of things that, you know, even when I was in high school, and those who know me in high school, they know that I didn't hang around a lot of people. I think I can count the friends on my hands. It's not that I didn't like them. It's not that I didn't want to be with them, but it was something that it was in me that kept me away from the cliques and the crowds. I didn't get caught up with people. I mean, I'm not ashamed to say I didn't have a girlfriend in high school. I went to the prom by myself. I mean, I was later on as getting a scholarship to go play college ball. But I remember during the course of time when I was young, and I remember the Holy Spirit began to deal with me when I was in the 11th grade. And I never really told my coaches or anything about it. But as I was out on the field, and this is something, just pass out a little, let a little secret out to you. I remember when I was out on the field, during the course of time of certain games, I would see something flying around the lights. And I knew it looked like a winged bird, but I never said nothing to anybody. And some of my coaches say, pay attention to the game. Lim Barney is calling me Lim Barney. Pay attention to the game, Lim Barney. Pay attention to the game. I am. But it was something that was going around on the lights and the right side of the field every time we played on that field. It was a winged bird. I don't know what it was. It was huge. And it would fade in and out of the clouds. If people know how stadium lights are, it would dip in and out the clouds. And I would almost see almost like the shadow, silhouette of the face of it. But I knew it was a wing because I knew how bird, but it was a huge wing. And I would look up sometime and see that what it was. And I dare not to say nothing to anybody. So I was one of them cats that kind of went to school. And I just kind of stayed, got my books, and went home. I knew my mother was powerful in the spirit. I knew she taught me a lot about the word, and I knew I had to hear what she had to say because there was something going on. But in this particular story, just giving a testimony about these things, how God really got a hold of me in the beginning of my 11th grade year, and I really didn't hang around a lot of friends. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I didn't do all that other stuff. I just had no desire for it when I was young. I was just a pure-bred athlete. Now, still not. Just take care of myself. But in this particular story, as we read it, my mother taught me as a testimony about how some of the training things I needed to do as a young man. And I remember one of the words she taught me, I learned to quote First Psalms. That was one of the first things she taught me to do. It. Even in my church, we quote certain things of the vision. We get it in the hearts of the people that when they stand up and they begin to say the word on the radio or in the service, we always had people to quote the scripture, you know. And it's one of the scriptures we used to quote in the service when we first started the ministry out was the Psalms 1. You know, we believed that we needed faithful people to do the work along with us quoting Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but standeth in the way of the sinner. I can see it in my mind. It's engraved in my mind. It's stuck there. That 23, 27, Psalms 91, Psalms 90, you know, all these things was engraved in me at a young age because I would sit there and listen to my mother. I sat at her feet and I listened to what she had to say. And I wouldn't have a lot of fun with a lot of kids, a lot of my guys my age that was going to having fun. Even after some of the football games, I would go to the gym and have no desire to be a part of the dances, you know, the things that was going on. I just would guess get up, take my gym bag, and I would go home. And I was fine with that. I didn't need to be around nothing. And so sometimes when you're trained early in certain things and things hit you when you're older, it doesn't bother you when people walk away from you. It don't bother you when people don't join in with you. It doesn't bother me at all. I mean, sometimes people hear me say, well, you know, I can move away. Because God trained me at an early age not to get latched on to things because things will leave you. And it was just a testament how my mother had taught me, you know, sometimes you got to walk alone. Sometimes you got to understand not being grieved. You just got to understand and realize it's going to time that nobody's going to be there with you. You got to walk alone. And God's got a gift in your life. You know, being the number seventh child in the family, and you know, it was just something different about me. Being the only pastor, you know, in the family, my mother's brother, he was a pastor, and it trickled on down from over her to me. But I can't ride on his coattail. I mean, I don't care how many pastors you got in your family. When God does a work in your life, it didn't have to do with a duplication. Some people say, like, my brother was a family. That's good. That's good that you got the training to get there, that somebody can help you when you're going through. But I don't believe God runs duplicates. I believe when God does something, I believe he throws the mold away. I think he makes it different. So when we look at the book of Ephesians 10, all of this came out of my obedience. Being obedient to my parent and learning Psalms 91 and learning Psalms 1 at a very young age, not really knowing the scriptures that much, afraid to quote them in front of my friends because they thought I was some kind of nerd or some kind of square, you know. So, you know, one of the biggest tips that I learned was Psalms 91. I mean, Psalms 91 was one of the biggest things in my life right now. Psalms 55. I mean, I can name them over and over again. I got a ritual that I do every morning when I get up because I was taught it in 11th grade. I mean, going into my 11th grade year, even in college, I do it. I get on my knees. I teach my daughter the same thing. Me and my wife do the same thing. So it prepares you that when people come against you or people walk away from you, because it keeps you strong and walking with the newness of Christ. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And I talk about that process over in the area of the book of chapter 4 in the book of Acts. It's an amazing story how God gives you revelation about everything in the Word of God. And it's not going to contain to what we call theological understanding. This is why Jesus spoke parables, and it wasn't even in the scriptures things he spoke. And this is why people chronologically can't understand, how did this information, how did he do that? Because God gives you illumination. He gives you spiritual insight. If you look in the book of Ezekiel and you know anything about walking in the prophetic office, you know, he told Ezekiel in the book of Ezekiel chapter 1, I'm going to show you an open heaven. I'm going to show you everything that pertains that goes on in the kingdom that you will be able to practice and do it down here on earth. Why? Because he was obedient to the things he done for Christ. Every prophet, every what you call seer that God had, they fell through the process of disobedience, but they quickly got themselves back online. This is why the Word of God talks about excellence. We talk about all the different ones in the Bible. We talk about the history of Jonah. We talk about Peter. We talk about John. We talk about all of these different scriptures in the Bible is designed to give you something for what is going on with you. Yeah, we talk about Apostle Paul. Yeah, Apostle Paul is fine, but what you going to do? Everybody say what Paul done. Yeah, well, but what you going to do? There was big, great men before the Apostle Paul that done great things. We look through all the genealogy and the lineage of the Bible. We see great men before Apostle Paul. But the only reason we get a lot of privilege of Paul because he wrote so much scripture. And I'm not saying Paul was a bad man. I ain't saying anything negative, but I don't put him above anybody else. But I mean, he had a prophetic office in him, just like you got to able to have a prophetic office in you. The Bible says if you understand and be obedient to your parents, obedient to the governing and sovereign words that come before you, this is how you learn to know the Spirit, by being obedient. If you can be obedient to your parents, ladies and gentlemen, if you can really be obedient to your parents, your mind is being trained in how you need to carry yourself as being a man or woman of God. You're in the position. You're in the bishop position of doing the very work that God has called you to do. Why am I saying that? Because your mind gets trained, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, your mind gets trained at an early age, learning how to listen. Well, Pastor Ellis, how do you say that? What's all this going for? It goes with how you receive the blessings of Christ. There are a lot of things you read, God give you, it ain't going to be in the scriptures. Why am I saying that? It'll pertain to the scripture, but God will give you something totally that ain't even in the word. I remember the Word of God telling me faith takes movement. Okay, yeah, we see it in the scripture, but he said it doesn't always appear as it seems to be. I don't see it in the Word of God. You may name it up with something, but I'm telling you how God gives you inside information and illumination when you understand the Word of God. You can write all the books you want. You can wear all the chains and rings on your fingers that you want. But when God put his hands on you, am I in there? God will show you just who you are. God used some of the foolish things to confound the wise. The Word of God came to the book of the book of Samuel. He talked to the man of God over in the book of Samuel, chapter 3. We know that Eli kept calling. He believed that Eli, his father, kept calling him, but God was training Samuel's ear to be that great man. Back then, they called him the seer. That's what they called Samuel. So we look at how Eli ended up being the duties of the temple, and he began to go in and said, Daddy, did you call me? No, I ain't called you. You know what? That says time in chapter 3. Did you? No, I ain't called you. But each time we keep running to the Elis in our life. I'm trying to get y'all to see something, how God got something for you. The Elis in your life is the man of God who stand before you. They're great men, but you got to understand and realize that God's got a plan that's separate from you. You're designed to get information from the huddle and what you gather. Then take the word and go out to the world and proclaim the gospel, because God will give you what he needs. Matter of fact, when you talk about Jeremiah, Jeremiah 18, go down into the potter's house. And he's telling Jeremiah, I can do with you what I will. No man has got that much on them to the point that they got that much power that they can control the gift that God got in you. My job as a man of God, when I do the work of God and I'm training and working with young pastors, I can't touch their anointing. I touch their character. I teach them how to character. I mean, Eli taught Samuel his character, that when he came to him so many times, and I believe it was about three times, he said, the next time You hear that voice, you be obedient to the one who's called you. God was training Samuel's ear to hear from him. How he need to hear from him. The word of God say that he who has an ear, let him hear. Even though Samuel was a young man that didn't understand, and sometimes I hear calls through the night. I ain't crazy, but I know what the word of God. I asked my wife, did you call me? So I have learned over the years that when I hear, and I know my wife is all on the other side of the house over in this big old place, I sit back and I say, yes, Lord. And the Lord will give me instructions of what I need to do. He'll tell me how I need to do it and the way I need to go about it. As I sit there and ponder, and it sometimes it's just like another man sitting there talking to you. Man will teach you one way, as Apostle Paul says over in 1 Corinthians, in that second chapter, around that 11th verse. He said, a man only knows the things of a man, but no man knows the things of the Spirit. Now he tells him, look, you got to say the Spirit. You got to say this. He got to say the Spirit was in here. He got to say his own self. Because what we got to understand and realize, if we understand and realize, if we be obedient at young age, as it says over in the book of Ephesians, you know, we got to obey our parents. God is training our ear how to be obedient and receive instructions. And if we can't receive those instructions, how can we walk in the newness and the power of God if we disobey the very instructions which are before us? In the name of Jesus, I don't want to keep on getting on this because I can feel the Holy Spirit moving even when we look over in the book of Hebrews around that 12 and 23 when he talks about the gathering of the general assembly of the firstborn. He talks about a kingdom registration that's going on in the kingdom of God. God is constantly calling us in the position to receive the testimonies of the duties he has in store for us to do. I believe God is speaking in every area of our lives. If we can realize and understand, it's really more than what we can see. It really is. If we think about it, when you think about the book of Hebrews and you see the power that God spoke in the book of Hebrews in that chapter 12 and that 23rd verse, he begins to lay down the instructions how we are as being man of God. Not only how we are as being man of God, but what will happen if we be disobedient to the words that he's speaking to here down on earth. He says over there in the book of, you turn your Bibles, you look over in the book of Hebrews, the 23rd chapter, he said to the general assembly of the church. Now look what he's saying. Now we ain't talking about no building. When you study the scriptures enough and understand, God is talking about what he said in Corinthians. Don't you know you are the temple? He's talking to you about your facility, how he gave you authority, how he gave you power. Not the bricks and the mortar. He's talking about you. If you really get a revelation of what he's saying, he said to the general assembly of the church. In the back in the days of old, they called the church the assemblies of God. Like you got these names they got now, the assemblies of God. All these different names that man named things that God didn't even tell. Man just made up stuff because of what was in the word of God. You see the assemblies of God, these churches out here right now. But when he said to the general assembly in the church, what is the assembly? Those who are gathering together, and what brings up the very church? The gathering of the saints. All those bodies who are the firstborn, they're registering, for it is written in heaven that God the judge. Now, he's the judge. Now, he didn't say about no building. He said God is the judge of you. When you be obedient to God, the Bible said you will eat the good of the land. God put you in a position to be obedient to him. It is written in heaven. What is written in heaven? The word, the unadulterated word. The undefiable word, the diametrically opposed to sin in every area. We got to realize and understand that God got some things for us in our life is really more than what we can see. But if we fail to understand what it says in the book of Ephesians 6 and 1, we cannot know, we by no means can move forward in what God has called us to do in our life. Because we can't even obey the first thing, and that's our parents. And how are you going to hear from the Holy Ghost? And when he talks to you, the word of God says to the general assembly of the firstborn, which is written in heaven, to God, the judge of all. Look what it says, of all in the spirit of just man made perfect. Well, who are the just man? I believe when you confess to God and believe in your heart, God will give you things that you will testify about all your life because he will show you signs, wonders, and miracles. And like I told you, the days I was out in the field, I just see angels. I knew it was something I was seeing. I didn't never say to anybody because, you know, people think you're kind of crazy. My eyesight wasn't too good back then. I was kind of had some trouble in my eyesight, but, you know, I didn't know if it was my eyesight or it was me. But later on here on now, I'm wearing glasses. But I realized back in those days, it wasn't my eyesight. It was just the Holy Spirit dealing with me. We want to walk the hallways. I saw different shadows of things, you know, both demonic and spiritual. But you tell somebody that when you're in high school, they think, you're crazy. You know, something wrong with you, man. Because so what I do, I stayed to myself and never said nothing hard to anybody. So I believe God trained me this way. You know, when I see people come in, I see people come out, when I reach over and help people out, and they just fade off and they have no persistence or try to take authority or try to help out. I mean, you know, you don't really need anybody to help you, but you want to be obedient when you're trying to do something with somebody. You just want to kind of be halfway obedient to the work, you know. But, you know, with those who don't want, then guess what? You got to keep moving. I mean, you just really got to keep moving. And God really says the same thing about the General Assembly of the Firstborn. He's talking about the kingdom registration. There's some who's going to make it, and we might as well face it. There's some going to make it, and some ain't going to make it. I mean, hey, come on now. I mean, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is. That's why he talks about Hades. He talks about hell, because it's a place for those who are disobedient also. And I can't send nobody to hell. I mean, you hear people monitor about it and play with about it. I ain't got a heaven and hell to send nobody. Well, it ain't for you to do that anyway. You know, the Bible said we can't judge anybody. Now, how what we do is we begin to speak the word, and as the word go forth, even right now, the Holy Spirit is pricking me. Because when I speak, the Holy Spirit convicts me also. He said, first to you and then unto them. He says in the 24th verse to the mediator of the new covenant, which is the new covenant. We understand that process, the blood, a sprinkling that was better things than which was Abel. See that you not refuse him that speak. Well, who's speaking? For if you escape him not, that refuses to speak it from earth. And we understand that God sent forth the prophets to speak the word. You know, if you don't listen to them, the word of God talks about Samuel, all them guys, Ezekiel. He talks about all them guys over in the book of Amos. I don't bring a word into the land, according to Amos 3 and 7, unless it's revealed through them. God used that. But in Hebrews, he talked about now God used to speak to them in sundry times in various ways, but now he speaks to his son, who now is the Immaculate Conception. And now the Holy Spirit runs viral in everybody. So it's not saying we don't need the prophets anymore. We just have too many out there that's claiming to be something that they're not. And you got to recognize. As they say, game, recognize game. You could talk the talk. But the word of God tells me signs, wonders, and miracles will follow them that believe. I hear all kinds of testimonies. To really sum it up and look at it, you go back to the book of Luke. You know, you see. You go back to the book of Acts 1 and 8. Luke 9. Look, he gathered them together. He gave them power. He gave them the ability to move and come back with testimonies of what the power of God done in their life. Look, Acts 1 and 8. Stay in Jerusalem. Until what? Till I endow you. Stay in the holy place. Until you need what you have to have to walk out to give the testimonies about what I'm about to do for you in your life because you heard the word. Faith coming by hearing. Hearing come by the word of God. The word of God declares and decrees. When you go over in the book of Romans once again, I mean the book of Hebrews once again, the 25th verse, see that you're not refusing him that speak it. And him that do you see that you're not refusing him that speak it? For if you escape, not the one who refuses him that speak it on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from one that speaketh from heaven. God is talking. He's showing us. Come on, somebody. I mean, y'all got to hear what I'm saying here. God is speaking every day. We in the position right now, we can't worry about what's going on in the life of the rebellion. The only thing we're supposed to do is give the word. The word of God declared when he came into the house, peace be upon his house. And those who are listening, let your spirit abide. If not, look, shake the dust, man. You got to keep moving. Because it's going to come a time they got to stand before the word of God. And they're going to say, but you talk to a little boy here, black man, some years ago. I remember I sent Charles Ellis to talk to you. And you're going to say, let me roll the film and let you know that he got a word to you. And this was the time I was trying to reach you, and you rebelled and refused my word. I had the prophets down here on earth, and they spoke to you, just like the rich man. I ain't going to give you nothing. I ain't going to send you back. If your brothers don't refuse, if your brother refuse to hear them up there, you know, guess what? They're going to be right down here whining at it. Because I got prophets up there to speak to them because it's testimony. What I'm saying is God trains your ear. That he who has an ear, let them hear. And the first thing we do as young kids, we're trained by the voice of our parents. And it's the same thing God does us. While we're being obedient to them and we train to hear the word of them, guess what? We can't rebel because now God is holding us accountable to not hearing. Because he said, when you was young, I trained you as an adolescent under the government of your parents to know how it is to follow instructions. This is why even as an athlete, I think it's good for all kids to play athletics, you know, but because it teaches them how to be focused. It teaches them how to be trained. You know, it teaches them how to be steadfast in whatever it is that they need to pay attention to. Now, you got to be able to pay attention. You got to be able to focus. So the word of God goes on in the 26th verse. He said, whose voice shook the earth. Now, we know that God's voice is a powerful voice. And we know when we talk about how God's voice shook the earth, we talk about Mount Zion when Moses went up on that mountain, the words and the pronunciation he spoke about how to handle the people and how to do things. God spoke with a governing voice. that it rumbled up there on Mount Sinai. They didn't know it was a volcano. When I was a God speaking up there, that was the power of God speaking. And the Bible said now that he promised yet once more that he will not only shake the earth only, but the heavens. God is doing some things in the kingdom right now. He's shaking up some stuff. It's a shifting that's going on. It's a paradigm move. All the things we see that's going on around us, God is letting us understand and realize, if you remember how to hear your parents when you learn, I'm speaking so clearly now. There's a lot of false prophets out in the world on today. There's a lot of things that's going on that I ain't even spoken said, but they're putting me in position and said I said it. You read the book of 1 John, down through 1 John, you hear what the word of God said. He said they're moving already. These people who are acting of the devil and worshiping the devil and seeking things on earth is moving already. Look what Habakkuk said. Habakkuk got upset. Both 1 and 2, both chapter 1 and 2. God had to get on Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Let me put that in a position. Somebody started complaining about that. You know? He put that in position. Why? Because Habakkuk got to complain about why all the wicked people got it going on. You out of focus, Habakkuk. You ain't in focus. Let them do what they want to do. Your job is to understand that before you was born, I put a vision in you. That vision for you to be an ambassador here on earth, to rule, to reign, to set the vision, to write it on the wall, and do what I'm calling you to do. And that's the very thing God is training us to do as young children under the adolescency of our parents. Learn how to listen. Kids that don't listen, kids that don't obey their parents, you got a hard way in life. And some of them are facing it right now because they hadn't listened. They hadn't come to understanding how it is to be able to take instructions from someone in leadership. The Word of God talks about the process in that very area of the book of, we're going to get back here to the Ephesians, but I want to make sure this is just a part of my study here tonight, talking about the testimony and how God has things for you in the area of obedience. All the scriptures give you something about a testimony that God has in store for you. Even when reading over in the book of Hebrews, he goes in the 27th verse. He said, the word yet once more signifies the removing of those things which are shaken. Come on, somebody. And those things which will remain. Well, what's going to be shaken? That's going to be a separation of the just and the unjust. That's going to be some things that are going to take place in the earth. That's going to be a difference. Everybody's going to be saying the thing. Everybody's going to say, it's going to be a double. See, look at the double resurrection that you talk about in the book of Corinthians around the 15th to 16th chapter. If you read it, the Word of God talks about that everybody's going to be in holding. We all understand that that's only a few of the disciples really received their immortal bodies. You know, people say Moses, he told Moses to come up to get buried. So if he told Moses to come up on the mountain and die, and I don't know if he took Moses to heaven or not, but it was a dispute between the devil who got him. If he said come up and die, then God did that funeral himself, and only God knows. But I do know about Elijah, and I do know about Enoch. The Bible tells me he took them. So them only ones I know has got their bodies of immortality. Everybody else, Paul is holding, all of them holding. Ezekiel is holding, Samuel is holding. Everybody got to stand for the final judgment. And that's going to be a separation. When we all stand there, all in one, before the pearly gates, that some is not going to make it in. And we see that already. People don't want to hear it and see it, but it's in position. The Word of God says it right here once again. And the Word of God yet once more signifieth. His word is a proceeding word, Isaiah 55:11. It's a forwarding word. It's going to move and do just what it says it's going to do. If he said, I'm going to shake it, I'm going to shake it. If those are not going to make it in, they're not going to make it in. If you refuse the ones who are sent here on earth to speak, yet what's more, you refuse the one when I speak from heaven, I'm going to deal with it. Because you failed at a young age not to have an ear to hear. The Word of God says, he who has an ear, let him hear. It's a spiritual calling. We can look at the book of Samuel. We can see the very example. He was tuned in that prophet's ear. He tuned Peter's ear. He tuned all those ears of those people. Even when Peter stood before Christ, I do all this, I do all that. He had to come and not look at Peter, but look at what was behind him. Look, Peter, the devil's desire is to sift you like wheat. But I'm coming to your life that you may have life and have it more. But I'm trying to train your ear that there's somebody acting that's called the adversary. And if you go that way, hell is a sure place you're going to be. So we understand and realize, yet once more I signify the removing of those things which are shaken, excuse me, as the things that are made. And those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Listen to what he's saying. Obedience. Anything you do in life, it falls under obedience. excuse me. Got a little snare coming in. It falls under obedience. Y'all excuse me for that. It falls under obedience. Anytime you can't obey, guess what our parents did? When I get you, I'm going to get you for old and new. They let us off the hook. That was the grace from the parents. Was God was training us at a young age. The grace from the parents was the same thing, grace that God gave to us. Now, mercy and grace. Ephesians 2. Your trespass and sin when you once walked the course of the world. You know, the child and the children are disobedient. We understand that. By grace you were saved. He quickened you. So now that you came to Christ and you understand, now grace is on you. So you learned grace when you was young. You learned how to buffer. When your mother said, I'm going to get you, keep on. And some didn't learn until we got hit. We got hit. Guess what? We had the meanest mind to think our mother was the evilest person in the world. Our mouths swole up. You know, most of us got the daylights knocked out of us anyway in church from acting up. Playing in church. We was getting trained. Don't play in the house of God. Don't joke and gesture in the church. The word of God talks about that. No joking and gesturing in the church. So we walk about and look at the book of Ephesians. We think about what he's saying. He makes it very clear for all to understand. Obey your parents. That was right. Honor your father and your mother. That's the command with the promise. Verse 3. That you may be what? That it may be well with thee. Well what? The life that he's promised you. That thou may have what? Look what he said. Live long on earth. You want to get up out of here? That's your way out right there. I don't care how good you are, how much money you make, how much good of a business. You throw this, we'll get the seed that they gave you life. You deal with that wrong, you can cancel Christmas, brother. I'm telling you, because it's a sure death that's going to come, and God going to deal with you. You're going to repent, but I'm telling you, if you plant it, it's going to grow. You can say you can repent all you want, and that's fine. The Bible said be quick to repent, but I'm telling you, you plant that seed, it's going to grow. Y'all better hear what I'm telling you this. You plant them seeds, they're going to grow. The same thing you meted out to the ones that are over you, we're going to be meted back out onto you. You will see it come up to your kids. You will see it come up to your daughters. You will see it. The way you disobeyed your parents and you gave them such a hard time when you was coming up, the same thing. I tell anybody that whatever you plant, that's what's going to grow. Some people do people harsh, they treat them bad, and they wonder why their life all jumbled up. Quit putting your beak on people. Quit talking about folk. Pray for those who despitefully use you. The Bible said the battle is not yours, but it's God's. The Lord God declares and decrees over here in Ephesians 5, and I'm going to slow this thing down and open up the lines a little bit here. Servants, obey them that are what? Masters according to the flesh. Look, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to what? The flesh. I want you to catch this. Be obedient to them, your masters, according to what? The flesh. Look at how you're saying this. According to the flesh. That's your parents. He didn't say the spirit. Because when you go on looking here and you read the increments of it, he said, with fear and trembling and singleness of the heart, as unto Christ. Don't get the flesh mixed up with the spirit. Christ is the one that you have faith in. Your parents is the one that you love and obey. He didn't tell you to have faith in people. He told you to have faith in him. Let me switch that around to get a better understanding to y'all here. God never told you, I'm just going to shoot it straight out. God never told you to trust man. He said, love your neighbor. He said, trust him. So when we look at this scripture, a lot of people don't look at it. Servants, it's apostrophe there. Be obedient to the masters. Look, according to the flesh. You got to be obedient to your parents. There's people who have leadership and rulership over you. You don't come and talk against those who God has to govern you to teach you to go in the right way. You talk about these are kung fu movies. They talk always call them master. Yeah, master. Little kung fu, some of these little Chinese movies walk back in the day. The master. They master. You know, Master Ching. Master West. You know, we're supposed to be obedient to the ones who God has put in position with us. Because once our parents have took us so far, then we learn how to follow instructions. Our first job, be on time. You know what I'm saying? Be respectful to your grown-ups. All that comes from adolescency. How you was young and how you was brought up. Being respectful. Your mother always taught you that. Y'all know how it was, at least in my neighborhood. Don't go over to people's house asking to eat food all the time. Don't be over there begging for nothing. Speak to them when you see them. You know, put your clothes up. Comb your head. You know what I'm saying? Brush your teeth. You know, all that. Sit down. Be quiet. Shut up. All that's to help you. Because there'll come times where those orders come in place. Let's open up the lines here. I hope y'all are getting some understanding about this. I hate to minister a word and to have a minister word over a word. Did I say that? Because you kill what the word of God has bought for those who have an ear to hear. Most of you are on the line. You got a chance to call in 214-870-2146. I mean, we want you to, maybe that's actually the personal number, but the number to call into the line tonight, if you want to be on the line, and I see a lot of people coming to the 817 number, which is right beside me, but you know, I can't switch you in until you actually get through the very number, which is the 516-387-1220. 214-870-2146 is for your private testimonies as you leave texts and messages. It's not, I see some saying, I can't hear. Well, you got it all messed up. You don't call the 214-870-2146. It's for you to leave the testimonies in the prayer request. But on this particular number, 516-387-1220, 1220 is for you to actually come into the studio. Now, when you call into the studio, you ain't got to come in. No, I see you on the line holding. But you know, but you don't have to actually come into the studio. It's not mandatory that you come in. So let's open up our lines and let's hear what the Word of God has to say. As I said before, you want to light it up, you can light it up. Some of you already lit up, and I don't really know who I'm going to put in first because I really don't, you know. I think this is a word that really signifies something in the lives of people. You know, I don't know if that 832 want to get up off in here, but you better hit it. I mean something. I got 810. I mean, I got 764, 583, 118, 837. Of course, the zeros, most of you guys know that's all outside the U.S. They can't get in. But our lines are kind of shallow tonight. You know, this is a powerful word that we're actually speaking on tonight. And, of course, we got 989 in the house. That's Elder Kerry Williams out of Michigan. You know, we got 713s in the house, 832, some more. You know, you guys, hey, look, 21, look. All you have to do is hit the number one button on your actually keypad, and that'll bring you into the studio. You know, and my mics might be kind of trembling tonight. Last week we was on the actually Spreaker because the enemy is always trying to stop this word. So most of you who come into the Spreaker show, it's only it's not a two way street. In other words, if I'm going to put it simple, it's not a give and take. It only goes out. And that's mainly one of our most powerful stations we give out because our international team picks up a lot of Mexico teams, you know, all of the Canada teams. They come in, but they can really catch us really well. So that also percentages are picking up very well. I want to go ahead and open up the line with the man of God. I know he wasn't here with us on last week, but 832, you are you asleep? I really know. That's my friend, and I want to say something about him. Most of us have been praying for him. Most of y'all know him on the line all the time, Brother Stredick, you know. And most of y'all who I've been asking to pray for him, he went back in for another surgery. So I think this is number four, you know. But we believe in God, you know, because the word went forth on his life that, you know, God would look over him. And if he have anything he had to say concerning the word that came forth today, he's got first ops. Out of all the numbers I see on, if he don't hit, then we're going to go to 989, which is the next open person in the studio to be able to come, be able to talk with us about what God is speaking on tonight. Okay, 832, you're going once, going twice, gone. You're out of here. I'm holding you in there, but I gotta keep moving. We got so many minutes to go. Let's get 989 in the studio, 989-890. Let's hear what the man of God out of Michigan had to say. He wasn't with us on last week. Such a powerful word came through last week, but... Well, we have Kerry Williams out of Saginaw, Michigan, on the line with us. Man of God, you're on the air.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor. I you know, you said it all, man. You hit it right on the point, man. And just very quickly, I just want to tell you and encourage you. You know, I can remember as a child growing up, man, I had a a great influence in my life as a pastor was my great uncle, the late great Elder James Anderson. And there were a lot of different principles he would give us. You know, we were over there in Sunday school. You know how it was back then, man. He was in church, you know, for everything from prayer and Bible band, YPWW, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, twice on Sunday. But one of the things, this very scripture here in Ephesians, you know, was the first scripture that they impressed upon us and taught us, man. And, you know, years later now I understand why, because through this very scripture, the one thing God intended to do was to establish a pattern of obedience. And that's what it's all about, you know. And I can remember very clearly we had to recite this scripture, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And honor your mother and father. Those first two scriptures were so important for them to drill into us. And I never forgot them, you know. God works like this because even though he created us free moral agents, you know, we have the ability to choose or deny him. He's never going to force himself on us, anything on us, but mm-hmm. he wants us to freely choose him. And Jesus said it best when he said, if you love me, obey my commandments. It's very easy to give the lip service, you know. You know, as men please do, as the scripture says, you know, it's very popular today for people to call themselves Christians and people to use the name of Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, if you're not committed and bonded to Jesus spiritually, then it's all just vainglory, you know, on your behalf, not on God's. But, you know, I just wanted to tell you, man of God, you know, I enjoyed everything I heard, and I'm so sorry I missed you last week. I guess I wasn't aware that you were broadcasting on speakers because I did try and get in. And, you know, the thing is if we can't establish obedience to our parents, obedience, God provided your parents as the first line of authority. And we all know and have some people around us or even in our families that we know if they aren't taught to respect their first line of authority as children, then once they become teenagers and adults and all that, they won't respect any authority. God commands reverence for anyone that comes to him. That's pure and important, you know. But then he establishes his order of reverence, respect, reverence, and obedience on down the line. And this is particularly describing where it should be in a Christian service. And then he goes on from there to the secular when he tells us to obey our servants and bond servants. He's telling us, listen, you know, whatever occupation you have, your job, your trade, whatever it is, you still have to be obedient to them that have rule over you, whether they are Christians or not.
Yes,
you
right.
know, a lifestyle of obedience is one that's dedicated first and foremost solely to God, and then everything else falls downhill. It's just like the anointing. The Bible says the anointing ran down from the top of Aaron's head, down his beard and down his garment to the skirts of his garment and things like that. Well, obedience works the same way because it opens all of us up to the blessing, you know, of God. We're subject to the command of God. So, man, be encouraged and keep on doing, man. I love this.
Amen. You know, the blessings of the Lord, you know, it's the blessings of the Lord. You know, he said, it makes it rich. And it added no toil. You know, the blessings, notice how he said it. As a matter of fact, let's look at that. Let's take a sneak peek at that particular scripture, when the Word of God says the blessings. Let's turn over to our Bible and look at this. The Bible says the blessings of the Lord. I like when you can variate the increments of what it says. Let's look at Proverbs 10 and 20. That's the book of Proverbs. I believe it's Proverbs. Let me see if we got Proverbs. I believe I read that quite a bit because I'm always asking about the blessings. Proverbs 10. Let's look at Proverbs 10. Yeah, let's go over there. I think it's around that 19 to 20. Let's look at some of it. And let's look at the increments of the scripture and what it's saying. Not only that, but look at it in the Amplified version. You know, when you talk about when he said the blessings of the Lord over that 10th verse, he says that Let me make sure we got this here. Everyone, I'm going to pull up this Amplified too also. That's the got 10. It's at 10 and 22 going on that 22nd verse. But I'm going to look at two different versions. I'm pulling out another Bible. Look at that here. As I said, even before you would get to that, look at the 21st. It talks about the mouth service and how it plays a role in your blessings also. These are lips of right, the lips of righteousness feed many, but the fools die of the wisdom. You know, look how he says that. The lips of the righteous feed many, but the fool die with a wisdom. They want a wisdom. I mean, they seek it. You know, I don't understand, but I want to learn something. The lips of a fool, it feeds many. And when they talk about the lips of a fool, man, sometimes people can tell you anything. I mean, the lips of the righteous feed many, but the fools die and want a wisdom. Y'all get that? The lips, well, okay, let me break it to you a little bit in the Amplified verse, because, I mean, I don't see no tags. Now, I hate some of y'all tags. Amen, Pastor Ellis. No. The Bible says the lips of the uncompromisingly righteous. Because he said the uncompromisingly. Now, y'all know what uncompromising is. You know what I'm saying? Righteous feeds and guides many, but the fools die for want of understanding in heart. Sometimes people on the street got all kinds of things they can talk to you about and tell you all things that sound right, you know. But when you really understand and search it in your heart, and sometimes that didn't really sound like we talk about cliches. You know, we're talking about all these cliches that's going on out here. People got all these cliches. But anyway, you know, I want to get some understanding to what I'm saying. But he goes over in the 22nd verse. He said, the blessings of the Lord. The blessings, the ING, the blessings of the Lord. Look what it says. It says the blessings of the Lord, and then it stops. It gives an apostrophe. Now look what it says. It says, it maketh rich, and it addeth no sorrow. Let me tell you all this again. The blessings of the Lord bring the bless. You see what I'm saying? When you got blessings, you're blessed. Multiple wisdom, knowledge, correction, obedience brings blessings. You know how the word of God talks about Malachi, I open up the windows of heaven. The blessings, the multiple blessings of obedience of the Lord, it makes you rich. The blessings is what makes you rich. Lord, in the name of Jesus. When you're blessed, you get blessings. When you're obedient, and find and guide and understand what's been told with no obstruction, God doesn't put disaster in your path. Not that he does it anyway, but you create the disasters out of your own mouth. You create the disasters out of way of you carrying yourself in the position of what God wants you to be. No, y'all don't want to hear this one. The blessings. He didn't say blessed. He said I'm blessed and highly favored. But this is the thing about it. People say I'm blessed and highly favored. But the word of God said the blessing. See, the devil blessed him too. That we don't know about. But the word of God said the blessings of the Lord, I-T, period. It make it, E-T-H, rich. When I'm walking in the divine favor and obedience of God, I got the blessings, which makes me blessed. Blessings give me the opportunity to say I'm blessed because I'm walking in divine favor. Oh, Lord, let me get out of there. Let's look over here in the book. Let's look over here in 832. You want to jump on in? I mean, you know, I mean, I'm always waiting on you. I see you doubled up on the line, too. What, you got two lines going or something like that? Okay, we got them in there, but we're going to look over here. And we got about 20 minutes. And I want to look at something else before we get out of this particular area of scripture. I want to look at something here. Remember, those of you want to, you got answers, you want to say something, you look at 516-387-1220. That's all you have to do is hit the number one button on your dial. Let me look at this Ephesians again. Let's look at the Ephesians again before we get out of here. Ephesians 6 and 5, servants, be obedient. Servants, be obedient. I'm a servant. Before I'm anything, I'm a servant. Jesus proved that he came down here to serve us. through his Father. John talks about, and believe it or not, I'm in the Father in me. If you don't believe me, then watch the work that I do. So he came first to be a servant. We know the story. He came to Peter's mother's house and talked about the process when he took off the very towel. He took off the very the shoes, and he put the towel around his waist. He began to wash the disciples' feet. You know, and he came to be a servant. He came to be a blessing to us, to let us know, to know how, no matter how high we get and how authoritative people say we are, we still got to be able to stoop down and help others to the point that we don't have to think of ourselves and be more high than anybody else. These things come through understanding at an elasticity. Obedience brings a blessing because your heart becomes a servant. A servant is, I tell you, if you know, if you ever find a servant, a true servant, and I like to serve, I like to help people, you know, but by my helping people, some people just, you know, it happens, they walk over you, they take advantage of you, they try, they say they do, or they get rocks in their jaws and they don't want to call or be around no more. That's fine. I mean, that goes to show me the maturity that's in you. I mean, that's I ain't got no problem with that. It just shows me that's how much far I got to get away from that particular situation because it's not of God, because God don't deal in those areas. But a servant, be obedient to them, as the man of God said. Y'all heard, be obedient. Look, he didn't say there's one. He said to them. Why is it to them? Because as you train to be obedient with your parents and as they see you out in the world, people look at how you, your home training. You know, they look at how you are. You walk in the house, you speak. You know, right now you got kids that come in people's house. They run right to the refrigerator, run all up in the house. No, you run up in my house. You sit down right there on the couch. And you speak when you come up in here. You know, and you ask for the masters of the house. You know, we walked over. We said, Mrs. Jameson, can Jimmy come out to play today? No, honey, he can't come out to play today. You maybe come back later, maybe come back tomorrow. Okay, Jimmy probably been bad or whatever maybe happened. But now you got the kids and the parents so lackadaisious, you know, even as, I want to say something before we get out of here, even as cousins and nephews and nieces, when they came up to the house, they still had to act right. Just because that was my mother's sisters and brothers, kids, they still had to hold an area of respect to how they come in the house. They couldn't run around and go everywhere. You know, I'll ask my mother, can they come in the back room and play with our toys? My mother would say, yeah, no, but don't y'all make up all that noise back there. You know, y'all, don't keep up all that noise back there. And sometimes she would say, no, y'all sit right here. You know, because sometimes, you know, back in the days they had those little nice couches and all that old stuff. You know, you couldn't sit in a certain part of the living room, hit that plastic on the seat, that'll melt your legs when you get on it. If you sit on the couch, that plastic be burning up, boy. And they put that plastic on the couch to preserve the furniture, which that's a revelation in itself. You know, when you think about that, you know. But as a young man, all our blessings came out of obedience. You know, rewards come out of obedience. I'm just keeping it straight to you. Testimonies come out of obedience. Believe me. Servants obedient. Servants be obedient to those who are masters according to the flesh. There's people God's got on the earth that you're supposed to be obedient to. Remember what I said before about that same particular verse? He told you to love people, not trust them. But I ain't telling you to be angry with them either. Because there's some things going to walk away from you. And you got to be strong enough to understand that it's God who brings things into fruition. It's him that helps you out. You know, I'm going to bring the man of God back in here. You know, everybody else has seemed like, oh, they got rigor mortis tonight or what, but they locked up tonight. And we got people on the line. Ain't nobody lit up but this man of God. We're going to bring him back in as we get ready to get off the show and let him go ahead and have a few more words to say. Elder Carey, we're going to get you out of here. Our time is running now, but we got to get out of the line and run over tonight. But go ahead, man of God. You got something you have to say?
Hey, man, I'm just enjoying everything you're saying because, see, all of this is leading up to all of this is taking us right into what's called spiritual wisdom. See, yeah, God can't deposit anything to us. He can't raise us up and do anything with us if we aren't first willing to be obedient.
Yes, yeah,
and it starts from the very beginning in the home. You know, everything we do starts and begins and ends with God. And you know, God says that first of all, salvation. Condemnation, everything else begins in the house of God.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the family itself, the family unit was the original and first building block and gift that God gave to man.
Yeah, that's right.
It goes all the way back to the beginning. And so that's God's personal unit for him to build upon. And then structure, God's original structure starts with the family. You know, as a matter of fact, God promised way back there in the army, when Adam sinned, when he first gave the promise of Christ, and he told the woman, he said, "In your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Come on, somebody, that's what the seed of obedience is for. That's what it carries. That's what it creates, man. And I'm just loving what you said. I was thinking about that when we were looking at the scripture over in Proverbs.
Yeah,
you know, that scripture tells us that the blessing of the Lord make rich and have no sorrow in it. And that one before it talks about, you know, the words of the wise, you know, feeding many people. And I like the second part. He says that the fool perishes for lack of wisdom. And in that case, that word wisdom translates to heart. Now, you think about that. Lack of heart.
Yeah.
God
wow.
commands what? The heart, the spirit, the heart, the real you. See, too many of us are still caught up with this external package and these bags of flesh and bone, and you think that that's you, but the real you is the inner man of God. That part of God that he deposited directly into you when he breathed upon man and gave him the spirit of life. God took from himself and his own spirit and deposited into man, and that's what sets us apart from every other thing in this earth. That's what entitles us to the dominion of the earth, because we literally have God in us.
That's right.
And God, not only does he demand and command, but he breathes obedience.
Amen.
Without the original seed of obedience, none of it works. We wouldn't, as a matter of fact, if it wasn't for disobedience, what? We wouldn't be in the struggle that we're in now. We wouldn't have to fight the fight of faith. We wouldn't, there would be no such thing as sin running rampant in our members.
That's right.
So, you know, we've got to understand that this thing is serious and it's real. And just like you said, we all got to stand one day. And you know, I don't care how good you are.
That's right.
Good has nothing to do with obedience. There's going to be a lot of good people in hell when it's all over and said and done. But Jesus said, if you love me, if you know me, you'll obey my commands.
What did he say about works, Elder? What did he say about works? How the word God talk about works?
He said good works aren't going to save you or justify you. But faith in God and obedience to God is what justifies us. Paul said, you know, Paul said, show me your faith by works, and I'll show you. I mean, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.
Right.
Because Paul understood that obedience is a seed that produces righteousness. Righteousness produces good works through faith unto God.
That's the process. I bet if Apostle Paul never went to that roll call straight, man, they'll tell him what would happen. Huh?
Come on, man. Come on.
You waited on that prophet. Well, you know, that man of God, I mean.
Ananias had to be obedient and do what God said when he laid his hands on him. Now, you know how that story went. He had concerns. And what did Jesus tell him? Jesus said, go. Because I've shown him what things he must suffer for my name's sake.
I know, Elder, we can't get into the discussion. We got to get into it again for the sake of time. Not to be the
true.
Everybody lying about everybody lighting up now that last minute. But when we just said, I mean, it's so much as a revelation the Holy Spirit give you how
it is.
The move with Ananias, how it would have diverted the structure of what we are. So many things, like you said, over in the book of Genesis, the garden, you know, if Ananias would have disobeyed, I believe God would have raised somebody up because he had a duty for him. But it was going to get done, but Ananias would not.
God,
you know, if the devil would have failed, he didn't do it, you know.
Mm-hmm. He would have captured another way.
Yeah, all that stuff, Galatia, we look at the Ephesus, Corinthians, you know, how much you got to think about how much how much would a party shifted if God had to revert his plan?
Amen. You know,
if that wouldn't have failed, look, it's just little things, you know. It's just, we don't.
It really is.
Yeah, it's just little things, man.
It really is.
And the letters from the high priest. Yeah, I mean, it's just so amazing how God devised a plan to bring things in order. And it's really it's foolish to us, like a murderer. All the time, all as God had a, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All a plan, God, man. You know, the beating of those Christians and pulling them, all this. Why did God allow it to happen? People say, why did God allow it to happen? He didn't allow anything to happen. You know,
it's amazing.
For the old
it's amazing. Yeah, yeah, it's amazing how words and events intertwined with in prophecy, and it all wraps up and it's all connected. You know, and God does things through prophecy. You know, the Bible talks this language, I believe. I'm going to be wrong. I believe it's in Deuteronomy, if I remember correctly, how when God sets a plan in motion, in other words, this is a form of prophecy, but how prophecy works is God writes the ending of a thing.
Yeah, that's what
And he goes back to the beginning and allows it to take place. We have no idea, no inkling of the things that are going to happen and way things are going to go that shape and mold our lives and things. But God has already laid it out. The Bible says God had a plan even from the foundation of the earth before we were even created. That's why when he said those words to Jeremiah, when you was in the womb before you were born, I knew you.
Yeah.
And I had plans for you.
Amen.
You know, it's amazing. It really is. God is an awesome wonder.
Yeah, it's so much that we just got to pray and ask God. But I got ladies first. I think it's a young lady that's about to get ministry. I think I hadn't seen her in a minute on here. She calls out of the 810 number. I'm gonna light her up in here. Hello, 810.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. This is Sandra.
Hey, Merry
Christmas to you, too. I was calling to, I listened to, to everything, and what brought my attention was to honor your mother and your father, and I had that foundation. And my mother asked me not to put her in a nursing home if possible. So, I took care of her for 12 years, and from Detroit to Columbiaville, me and my husband. And so we honored my mother all the way through hospice here at home. So I know about honoring your mother and your father.
Yeah.
And my father, I honored him when he died in the hospital. I did that. You know, my mom was dependent on me to make decisions to a certain point, and then my brother took over. But I know about honoring your mother and your father, and she gave me the basis about exactly what you were talking about in your sermon today. But all my father had to do was look at me and not straighten up, you know. He didn't have to do anything. My mother, she most talked to us. Barely did anything, but it's a basis of how you grow up and the decisions that you had to make and that your family, your parents had to make for you to be in the position that you're in now. You know, that different choices that you could have now because you know you was in the basis of the Lord.
Yeah. If it serves me, and I know we got a few minutes, I listen to some of the testimonies you have, and I believe the preserving of God in your life is all behind the obedience. You know, I think a lot of that, you know, I hear about some of the things you talked about that happened in your life, and I believe it had a lot to do, you know, the ownership. You know, he said he'll live long. I mean, you know, and I think about some of the testimonies you talk about how you had to go through some certain things, and I believe God had. He said, "You forgot about this one. This is one of the ones I'm got for you in the bag that you honored your mother. you honored. This is a big one for you. So when those things came down on you and you had some situations that wasn't too heavy for God to handle, he pulled you through. You know, so not to do with, you know, that's a lot of stuff in the bag, as Elder, you know, said. It's a lot of stuff to hang on to. You really need to. We don't think about it, but it really plays a heavy role. You know, what we have in our goodie bags and what God really opens up for us at the time that we honored some of the precepts, some of the statutes and things that he put in place. He preserves us. And he said, well, you know, I remember you took care of your mother. You didn't go against her wishes not to put her in. So when you come against this, then I'm going to honor you too. So I'm going to save you from this. I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to take care of this. You know, it's just a broad spectrum. Elder said it moves so rapidly, you know. It's just, you know, I know we can, you know, one day we get into it, but it's always good to hear from you, woman of God. I got another man of God. We got a few minutes that's coming on the line. He's out of 832 number, but it's always a blessing to hear from you. I mean, it's truly an honor to hear, just to hear your voice. I thank God for you that you get a chance to come out and take the time to be with us, you know, on our line.
Oh yes, anytime. I work 3 jobs to take care of my mother here at home. Between my husband and myself and the caregivers in between. That's why I didn't really know my husband, because we just, when he come in, I leave and he go, you know, because he worked on my schedule. You know, he was able to do that. And we got sitters in between.
Amen, woman God. We got 832 in the house. We've been praying about this young man. He's going to let him on the line here. He gonna pull a last minute on me.
Hello.
Yeah, you here? We got you in here.
Yeah, I was on the line, but I had my little girl had called me. You know, I rarely get to talk to her, so I had to click over and talk to her. It was one of these days she wanted to talk to me, so. Mm-hmm. I had to chop it up with her for a little bit, but, you know, I'm in this hospital, and I got this machine hooked to me, you know, and whenever I move, I got to tote it around. So, you know, I've been doing all type of different stuff, and then trying to hold the phone and hold the machine and, you know, all that. But, yeah, I was listening and the little stuff that I heard about obeying your mother and father, man, and that really touched me because, you know, I remember growing up with my mother, not too much really seeing my father like that, but, you know, that was on some other terms that I don't want to even get into. But I remember, you know, my mama taking us to church every Sunday, and really you had to get up and go to church. It wasn't no, I'm not going to church. You had to go. You had to go. You had to go. You had to go, or if you didn't go, you were finna get that beating, and then you were still going to go. So, you know, I remember my mama doing that, you know what I'm saying, taking us to church and raising us. But I was one of those I was one of those kids that I listened to my mom. I listened to my mom, and I listened to my mom up till I got a certain age. And then I started doing what I wanted to do. And the things that I was doing, my mom was telling me. My mom was telling me. She was telling me. She was telling me. She was telling me. Don't do it. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. But I'm steady looking like, man, I got this. You know what I'm saying? But as I got older, none of that stuff hit me while my mom was telling me about it. But when I got older until now, even now, some of that stuff that my mom told me not to do back then is still coming back on me right now.
Yeah, it's tough.
This day. So, you know, even I tell my mom sometimes when me and my mom together, I tell her I understand what she was doing. I understand what she was telling me because, you know, my mom see me struggling with the stuff that I'm going through now that she told me not to do back then, you know. You know what I'm saying? And it's always, if you would have listened to me, you wouldn't be going through this right now, you know, and it's like, man, I'll be like, man, Mom, I understand. I really do. Only if I would have listened. If I would have listened, man, it's a lot of stuff I'm going through right now, I wouldn't be going through. So that touched me a lot, even though I didn't get to hear it all because I had to click over and talk to my little girl. I grasped some of it, you know what I'm saying? And And that really touched me because I really think about that to this day.
Yeah.
I think about that little sermon, that little study right there. I think about that to this day of obeying your mother and father, because if I would have listened, man, I wouldn't be going through a lot I'm going through now.
That's a lot. It sounds like it's just a scripture we just take out of the Bible, just a cliche, but it's set to mother. It's way up there. You know, it's way up there. Way up there. And it holds a lot of weight. A lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot of weight. Because I'm telling you, you know, you hear the people talking about, you know, hard head makes us soft and all this stuff, and you know, it was just true, you know. But obedience is, he just holds Sammy. I think he said obedience is better than sacrifice. I mean, I'd rather be obedient than have to sacrifice or go through some of the things I had to go through in life. And I thank God I didn't go through too many. You know, I didn't go through too many. I had my choice only because God had to discipline me and show me how I handle a situation when I go with it. But I was quick to learn. You know, some people quick to learn. You know, they catch it real quick. You know, you gotta hit me twice. You know what I'm saying? Some people catch it right off. No, I ain't going to deal with that no more. But we got about a few minutes to go on the show, man of God. I tell you, we wanna lift him up in prayer right quick. Wanna just honor him. You know, he's in the hospital once again, and you know, it's only a plan. You know, as the elder said, you know, he looks at a thing. You know, he declares a thing before the end. And I believe that. God looks far beyond. He looks way into our future. I believe strongly, despite of whatever life of individuals living, I believe very strongly in Jeremiah 29:11. I really do. I believe with my heart. When people look at you and they don't look at you as if you got what it takes, I always think about Jeremiah 29:11. How God really singles out all the things around you that looks at you if you ain't got what it take, or you're not going to make it, you're not going to get there. He said, well, hold on a second. You know, and really the word comes again kind of in terms of what Gamaliel, you know, talked to those Sanhedrins down there in the book of Acts. You know, I think around chapter 5 and that 37, 38 verse. He said, if this thing be a man, it's going to fall. But if it be a God, you'll find yourself fighting against God himself, and you cannot win. So with that note, I'll say, like, you know, God has got so much, according to Jeremiah 29:11. It's his plan. Jeremiah 1:5, when we was created, it was all his devised plan to take us through whatever it was we take through. We can't talk about it right now because Elder tapped on something, and I tapped on something I know, and it's foolish. It really is how God took a Paul through things, how he took the prophets through things, how he took David. It's just the way he devised, and one little word or one little opposite could have caused a whole devastation. Not that God would let it fall, but, you know, he had to do some things and make things a correction. But we want to pray for you right quick, man of God. Let me get the elder back here on the line right quick. We want to pray for you here in a second. Make sure he's there with us. Now, elder, we got a few minutes. We want to go ahead and pray for this man of God. We'll dip them up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to echo my sentiments and encourage the young man. You know, no matter what's going on, I firmly believe that God is building you up for a reason. He's going to bring you through all of this because he's building just your testimony.
Amen.
He's building your testimony, man. And God, whatever God purposes for you, he's going to bring you to it as long as you hold on. So we want to pray that God's will be done. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your son and your servant, oh God. We thank you for even the diverse trials and temptations that he and all of us must go through. Because, God, we thank you for being obedient to your will and to your word, oh God. We thank you for this lesson tonight, oh God. We thank you for how that you blessed. And in this particular young man's life, God, we thank you for his testimony of how that he's seeing clearly now the things that you spoke to him through his mother. We're thanking you for victory over all of the adversity, over all of the health issues, God. And we thank you for his testimony because, God, we understand that you know it, you've seen it, you've written it, God. And we bless your name as we watch it come to pass. We understand, oh God, that we can do nothing without you but fail, oh God. So we look forward to the manifestation of your healing and of your glory in this life, Lord. Touch, heal, and deliver him, God, as you see fit, God. No matter what the obstacle is, no matter what the health situation is, no matter what the challenge is, oh God, we praise you because you're bigger than them all, oh God, and we count it by faith as done, and we see it by faith as done. He is victorious in you, oh God. He is healed. He is delivered. He is set free, and he is set forth and forward, Lord, to minister by way of his testimony of your goodness and your healing virtue. For that and all other blessings, oh God, we give you the praise, we give you the glory and the honor that you deserve. These and all other blessings we thank you for in your son Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen.
Well, God bless you guys for joining us here at Harvest Life Church. It's streamed over, yet it's worth it. And we believe the man of God has got the blessings on his life. We thank Elder Carey. We thank the woman of God, Sandra. We think all other international teams are with us. Don't forget to join us on Thursday night as we go with the Word. As we come right back in here, we got another interesting discussion. You never know what it's going to be. God gave us a lot today. So we just I tell you, we got a lot we can go off all year. But it's just, you know, we just thank you guys for being a part of the show. I mean, just helping to be this, make this station what it is. I mean, it's really booming. It's really going forth. And we thank God for the woman of God, Co-Pastor Pelle Ellis, to push behind me, that keeps me
going.
All the work I'm doing. So it's just truly a blessing. So, you know, if I know we're going to get a chance to see this again, so I'm not going to say Merry Christmas right now. And to the woman of God, Sandra, God bless you. Keep on continuing to move forward. And of course, Elder Carey and Anthony Stredick. And I'm always a blessing to be with us on this live tonight. And it's truly a blessing to be with you guys. Until then, God bless you guys. Y'all take care. And we love you guys here at Harvest Light Church. We're signing
out. God bless you.
Life's a living nightmare. Burning deep within, I can feel the voice of evil. I can hear the call of sin, but I won't go back again. Once I take the freedom, and the saints goodbye no more. First day she wings to fly like an eagle, I can soar.
Thank you.